This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They need to come back tonight because the thought
be all right.
Of going to Indianapolis down 0-2 doesn't do anything for anybody around here, I can tell you that. They're going into the game, and they are reeling just a little bit, and maybe a little bit more than a little bit. Darius Garland, we knew, was injured going into the last three games he's been out. We'll see. He said on TV the other night, he said he wanted to play in game two. We'll see if that's the case. Kenny Atkinson yesterday not painting a very good picture about any of these guys that might be coming. Evan Mobley is dealing with ankle issues after game one.
We just heard Kenny call them both doubtful in his – where you think he's going to get fine comment from yesterday that we're going to play again.
And DeAndre Hunter, the other guy, in doubt, as we talk about. So all three of those guys, questionable, is that the word we're using then? Is that what the word he
Kenny
used?
Kenny used doubtful.
Doubtful, so.
That's bigger than questionable.
Oh, man. All right, again, I want to play that cut again for you, what Kenny Atkinson had to say about just being frustrated by the injuries and the no calls.
Here it is.
Unfortunate for us, I don't think this is on India. I have so much respect for how they play. They're hard playing dudes. But the fact of the matter, I think that's on the referees. Maybe they were missed calls or maybe I'm misinterpreting the rules. But I have a problem when we got two of our best players doubtful for tomorrow's game. It's hard for me to get my head around that. And there were no calls on either one. So never haven't talked about referees all year. And I think the referees in this league are phenomenal and they do a great job. And that was a darn good crew did last night. But for some reason, it bothers me that, you know, we're dealing with this. It shouldn't, at least there should be some, you know, repercussions in terms of making the call.
Is that finable? Because I first time I heard it, I was like, oh, he's dogging the refs.
He did say missed calls.
He said missed calls. Okay, well, that's not.
Or perhaps he's misinterpreting the rules.
Yes. Is that egregious? Egregious enough to get you fined?
Oh, anything's enough to get you fined.
Does he have a point?
I'll bet he doesn't get fined.
He did a good job of kind of dancing around without being mean about it, right? He wasn't. And then he came back and complimented the referee, saying that they were very good. It was a good refereeing crew. But again, you have to say, like, I think most referees in any sport, when they turn to a head coach or a manager or in any situation, if they turn to the manager who might be complaining, or they turn to, you know, the head coach and say, "Coach, I didn't see it." Now, it's a little different when you have replay. It's a tough argument from a coach or a head coach's point of view. You can't argue something that somebody didn't see. So whether it existed or not only mattered to the person who was making judgment. And if they're making judgment, then what are you supposed to do?
So if a tree falls in the forest, is that what you're saying?
Basically, I just think the golden rule is if a referee is, you know, brave enough to say, "Coach, I didn't see it," I think you have to respect that as a manager or as a coach.
Although, aren't they supposed to see it?
It is impossible to see everything that's going on at all times in any game. If you want, I can go toe to toe with you on this one. If you want to argue,
I
think you're playing devil's advocate. I
mean, absolutely.
Yes, I can. I smell it.
But they looked at it. They replayed it.
That's what bothers me.
There's the catch.
Yeah. Especially on the Hunter call.
You know, the only thing I would say about no calls on those two situations, especially the Hunter play.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, weren't they kind of letting him play a little bit?
There's still a point where it gets a little egregious, especially when a player's in the air, right? Earlier in the game, the Cavs took a call for a light tap on the back while a player was in the air.
Guys get their hands hit all the time.
But if you get hit while you're shooting, they call a foul on him most of the time.
Well, Golden State just had this whole situation where the Rockets were going after Steph Curry's injured thumb, right, with Dylan Brooks?
Yeah.
Is this a similar type of thing? And Dylan Brooks said, hey, if there's a guy who has an ankle injury, I'm attacking that ankle all game long because it's within the rules. I wonder, and
as long as you're not egregious.
Right, as long as you're not egregious about it. Is this the same type of thing? I'm not sure that it is, but you know, you're allowed to hit after the shot.
Yeah, but I mean,
according to what Steve Kerr said, it's within the rules, but it shouldn't be, is what his thought was.
To essentially punch a guy in the chest? I mean, that's
that happens all the that happens almost every possession, Andy, in the NBA. I mean, it's the most physical, non-physical sport that's out there.
Well, that's a good point too. Do you think there's an issue? And I bring this up every year that you play the regular season one way and then you play the playoffs another way.
I don't think it's anywhere near.
It's not what
it used to be. I mean, it used to be just, you know, like a battle royal. These guys are just hanging onto each other and pushing and shoving and everything else. It might be a little bit different. They let them, as they say, they let them play in game one.
Yeah,
there are games in the regular season where they let them play. You know, it's kind of like a baseball home plate umpire's strike zone. Okay, what's the tone of this game going to be? All right, they're going to let us play. Mm-hmm. What's this? Am I getting?
Unfortunately, it takes an at bat to figure that out.
Am I getting the high fastball? I'm not. Okay, I got to live low in the zone if I'm a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it takes a little while to figure it out. But games are all called somewhat differently because people are different,
right?
You know, different human beings.
I'll sit here the way I did yesterday. I'm not going to sit here and blame the referees for the Cavaliers' loss. They were horrible shooting three-pointers. That's a team loss.
They weren't good.
They didn't come out.
They weren't Celtic bad, but they weren't good.
No, and they also didn't come out like with the intensity that Indiana had. I mean, they set the tone.
Yet they came back and took the lead, Andy.
Yeah, no, I know. So I still think Indiana set the tone and then didn't fold at the end. When they had a chance to fold, like we watched so many teams fold throughout the year. So
percentage-wise, by the way, the Cavs were slightly better than, or worse than Boston, but at least they didn't jack up 60 of them. Poor, that sound you heard was Red Auerbach's head exploding.
He's more worried about just rolling out the ball cart at halftime and making sure that there's no entertainment.
Good idea.
Yeah. So all right, let's talk about all three guys. If Garland's out again tonight, what does that mean?
It means we're going to have the debate. Would Darius Garland make a big difference? I hate to make it that simple. How could missing an all-star caliber guard not be a difference? Of course it's a difference. And anybody who thinks it's not is mistaken.
It's funny how when you win by 40, though, everyone says, did you notice he wasn't playing?
Well,
did they really need him? Like that was actually a storyline last week. Yeah, did they really need him?
Things went so well in the regular season that there were no bad storylines about the Cavs in the regular season. There just weren't. Right?
Right.
And you know, the other aspect of this is the Cavaliers were so healthy during the regular season. And that's something that, you know, we're dealing with this now. I mean, Donovan Mitchell missed 11 games. Darius in the regular season missed only 7.
Yeah, and no one had to get their mouth wired shut this year.
Right, and some of these were just, you know, resting here and there and everything else. Evan missed 11 games. Jared Allen played in all of them. So their key guys, for the most part, I mean, nobody missed 20, 30 games, something like that. They were relatively healthy for most of the regular season.
Well, again, it'd be nice to have Garland back, and I think we all know that. If they can get him back tonight, and you have to wonder, you know, obviously, you know, he told TNT the other day that he was hoping to come back for this game.
But what's he going to say? Nah, you know what? Feels a little bad. I don't think I want to go.
Yeah, they should just go ahead and plan for the fact that I'm not going to be playing.
I don't want to do that. Forget it, guys. I'm out.
I'm a little even more concerned about Evan Mobley because we saw what his potential was. He just wasn't able to give them, I don't know, a couple more points to help them win the game last night or 2 nights ago. So, I mean, Mobley And this ankle sprain, I think, is probably it's right up there with Garland, obviously. But the concern, and especially knowing the way he played, like, you know, it was even brought up during the broadcast that it was, you know, look, Evan Mobley's playing a different game than he did a year ago, especially aggressively in the offensive zone. Well, yes, I know people want him to shoot more, but you want him to shoot more. But.
Well, I'd like him to shoot more. The issue here is, and I'm sorry, just because a guy might touch the basketball doesn't mean he should shoot the basketball when he gets the ball. You know what I mean? You might not be in position. It might not be designed for that. Could he be a little more aggressive? Sure. Why not? But the one thing I think to keep in mind, and I did some double checking on this, Evan in the playoffs has never taken more than, 15 shots in a game, but once. And that one time he did was game 5 against Boston last year. He had 33 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 assists. Mm. So the dude took 24 shots in that game. Only game in his playoff career, and he's played in 22 playoff games, where he took more than 15 shots. I want to see him take more than 15 shots. I want the Cavs to get him the basketball and tell him to score. And then I want him to do it. One game, that's it, where he's taken more than 15 shots in a playoff game, and he had 33 points. Now, they lost. But are you going to blame him? He had 33 points. Jarrett was out in that game. This playoff, Sandy, mm-hmm. so far, and it was Miami, you know, and that was easy. And then, you know, the first game here, he has a high of 13 field goal attempts. That's it. So he's not been a focal point of the postseason offense. One of the games was the last game against Miami where he didn't play a whole lot because they're just drilling them. But in his career, he just doesn't. He takes about the same number of shots in the playoffs as he does in the regular season. Keep that in mind. It's not like they're asking this guy to take 18 shots a game. I wish they were.
All right. I also want to talk about DeAndre Hunter. We'll talk about that coming up on the other side of the break. The other thing is this the worst-case scenario that we're looking at right now with the Cavaliers? 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Plus, we're going to take your phone calls when we come back. Mary Kay Cabot at 11.